Keyshawn, J. Will, and Zubin, the podcast.
Well, where Brooklyn at is an easy answer right now. Where they're at is the second round now of the postseason.
Yeah, BK.
Good morning from New York City, the beautiful Brooklyn Bridge.
Let's
right
go
outside
Nets.
Our studios here, Pier 17.
That's a great shot. Too bad I couldn't see it over the weekend.
I mean, the sun?
It was rainy and foggy.
It's beautiful in Montauk, no matter what.
Yeah,
right. Gorgeous out there in the Hamptons, no?
Yeah. No.
Did you go in the water?
Yeah, he was raining. He was standing in the water pretty much the whole weekend.
You'd be surprised. People still go in the water when it's cold and rainy.
There were some people out there in the rough.
Yeah, you know.
Usually it's not until, like, September. Like, Ditch Plains is a great surfing spot, like, late in the season, but not now.
Sorry.
Well, no, but I don't know if the waves are pretty strong.
I look like I surf, but
I don't.
Yeah,
you go board shorts. You do the whole thing.
Oh, yeah. I got the whole look.
He's Cali.
As I say, non-threatening. Non-threatening. That guy, he's a good guy.
Hey, how are you?
Good guy.
What was that voice?
Well, it's the disarming voice.
Is it?
Yeah. Hey, how are you?
Yeah. Hey, how are you? And you gotta make
the
sure
wave.
You
don't.
It doesn't go all the way.
Well,
up.
No, just, no, no, no.
It has to be.
No, no.
Yes, here.
Yeah, yeah. You and never want to go.
No, you kinda,
never want the arm going.
And then every now and then,
too aggressive. You might think I might.
And the point is,
you might,
hey, what are you doing?
So what was he doing?
I'm waving.
In here, and you always gotta. That's always, you know.
The point?
Yes.
That's always the good one.
Hey, how are my Jets going to do in Cade? What do you think of this kid?
There's a lot of Jet fans in that Long Island, kind of that stretch right there.
Oh, yeah.
Oh,
it's all that's Jets country out there for the most part.
Yeah, no.
So I imagine everybody that saw you was all Zach Wilson. Had to be every time somebody saw you.
Yeah.
Hey, what do you think of this kid Wilson? Is he any good? We going to win? We got a chance? Like, you had to
you
get those.
You don't have to change your voice because you sound just like that anyway.
I don't.
Am I lying?
Wait
a
minute.
I was thinking the same thing. I was thinking it.
What are you talking about?
That's what gets me in trouble. You was thinking it, but I said it.
I know. That's
how
we live.
I say what he thinks.
Is that how I sound all the time?
Yes.
Can I ask you a question?
Yeah.
All right. Because Alan wouldn't recognize this. Did you? I'm curious if you had the moment, because I know you did.
Mm-hmm.
Where you're sitting there and you're like, you start looking around. You're laying out whatever it is, and you're
laying out, but yes.
Yeah. You're like, mm-hmm. Yeah, only black guy here. Yeah.
No. Jay, I honestly could say there was probably two or three within distance around. Yeah. Not a whole lot. In fact, you know, I find myself in areas like that oftentimes trying to source out
yes.
others.
There was now the connection point, right? Because, you know, you see, you're like, the head nod. You're like, mm-hmm, I see you.
One dude, which was interesting, it almost like he didn't want me to see him.
Hey, I don't want to go down this alley.
No, I'm saying it was almost like he didn't want me to see him. It was the funniest thing ever. You know, the hand, holding the hand. He was holding the hand.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
And then when he saw me, he let the hand go. I was like, I get it, bro. You working. I understand. I get it. He's working. Me and my wife. It just
so much I learn every day on this show.
No, he's holding the hand. No, and so I'm going into the lobby, kind of going down to get to the outdoors.
Okay.
He sees me and immediately drops the hand and kind of turns his head away.
Like he was ashamed?
I think so. I think the individual that he was with wasn't. It was more based on me because I can lab it from head to toe, meaning I could go up and down head to toe. I could check the wrist, all that, and check it out, the whip, everything, and know what it is, Jay. She was full of money. I already know what it was.
Yeah.
And so he dropped that hand because she wasn't what we like to call,
you're going sugar mama.
She was a sugar for sure.
Yeah.
100%.
Yeah, well, it happens.
But she wasn't.
It happens, yeah.
She wasn't. On the front cover of the swimsuit issue of Sports Illustrated.
Watching your face, Alan, as Key is describing it or finding the words for it.
This is
sheer joy.
But
for
guess
me.
What? What was so funny about it? She was a Jet fan.
Lot. Which is even better. So did she say, hey, how's our Jets going to look this year? But the Nets, at least we know how they look this year as they move on now. They beat the Celtics last night in a relatively easy fashion. The big three average 85 points a game in this series. 85 points. You've never had a big three do something like that in a playoff series. That's a lot.
It'd be interesting to see with assists what that would be. Like their assists.
Their
assists
plus the 85 plus the assists as well, how much they've really contributed to the scoring.
Yes.
I mean, 90% of the scoring, maybe?
Can I come back down to reality, because you guys know I'm a Nets fan.
Why are you doing this?
No, because we get on the hype
train. You look like you're tempering expectations.
We're playing against the Celtics.
Yeah.
Well, you got to
admit, though.
The
Celtics didn't have Kemba Walker. They didn't have Jalen Brown.
Right.
Okay, like they
so you wasn't spooked at all when they won up in Boston? You wasn't like,
I wasn't worried. I wasn't worried, but like that, it was also like when they think, all right, first playoff series, I get it. Like you lose.
This is the first time we've seen them play five consecutive games together.
I understand. Like I've also been a person that said, like, I think it's like a polished Rucker Park style in which they play, right? Like streetball style. It means key goes, then I go, and then you go. As you get deeper into the playoffs, you need to find a little bit more continuity there instead of just, you know, it being individualized. We still have to watch them find themselves.
Let me ask you this, though, Jay. If you go and Allen go, and then I just go and go and go and go and go and go, and I'm knocking it down like KD doing, what's the difference?
No, I understand that.
Right? And then if you go and me and Allen is chilling, and you just go, 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 and you're knocking it down.
I'm just sitting back watching you cook.
I'm not saying it's
now
not.
Now all of a sudden you go and me and Jay watching and you cook.
What's the most important
part of that? We get our 85
though?
Points.
Thank you. But what's the most important part of that is the fact that you're cool with him cooking
going,
for a while.
Yes.
I'm cool with you cooking for a
Absolutely.
While.
Absolutely.
That's the most important part, because the hardest part of bringing three stars like this of this talent together is making it work,
but
where everybody's cool with, if it's your game, it's your game, if it's my game, it's my game. Like, whoever's turn it is, you know, the ball will figure it out. The game will tell you whose game it is, and you have to be okay with, this isn't my game today.
But they came into
and
it.
They are.
They came into it, though, Jay, knowing that, right, Allen? This isn't – out of these two guys, out of the three guys, there's only one dude in KD that's worked for. The other two dudes, when they were trying to carry the
Good
teams
point. –
It didn't work for them.
Well, KD doesn't need the ball. I mean, you even saw last night in the game.
I understand. So it's kind of like, I'm going to get mine. Don't even trip on me. You know, I'm going to knock it down. My percentage is going to be high. Y'all do what y'all do. And when y'all need me, I'm long and I'm aggressive and they can't do anything with me.
Well, these matchups that we're about to see are about to be blockbuster.
Well, here's where we'll go now.
Snack, crackle,
right, so,
pop, key, blockbuster.
Yeah, like this could be, oh, I'm sorry.
It is.
This will be the best series of the Eastern Conference playoffs.
You agree with me. Thank you.
You're right.
Thank you.
I'm going to definitely take your take on this. Is I completely agree. This will be the best series of the Eastern Conference. So let's sit back and enjoy this, because it's a great matchup. It's the Bucks. It's the Nets. It's Saturday is game one, Saturday night in Brooklyn. And the matchups are really good. Now, Malika Andrews, who's covered the Bucks, she knows them very well, knows the Nets obviously very well, covers them as well, our ESPN NBA reporter. She was on with Scott Van Pelt. And she had an interesting take that even she really didn't believe that they were saying about the Bucks and where their focus is before this series.
That's what Giannis Antetokounmpo was focusing on. He was saying, look, this is about us. This year, that's a difference in the Bucks' mindset. He said it all year. He's maintained that this is about Milwaukee. This is about the pieces they have. And yes, when the time comes, when they're presented with film, then he's going to zero in on this matchup. But they're very confident in what they did in the regular season against the Nets and seeing how that can translate. But they also have a score that they are keeping on their whiteboard. They check off every game that they win. This is a team, the Milwaukee Bucks, are really focused on winning that championship, and now it's Brooklyn that stands in their way.
Looking for 16 wins. They have four so far. But do you buy that they're only focused on themselves, Jay? Because I find that to be that's a platitude. Come on. You spent the whole week since you've swept the Heat focusing on, all right, how are we beating the Nets?
Well, I mean, of course you're going to focus on the Nets. I mean, of course this is a colossal matchup, but this is also the same Milwaukee team that it's been different. This year has felt different for them. Right, like we've talked about the narrative about how will they do in the first round. The way they took care of Miami, was impressive. I don't care, and you can say that Miami's not the same team that got to the championship last year. Fine, but the way they dismantled Jimmy Butler was impressive. So that Drew Holiday James Harden matchup, like James Harden is the key to unlocking everything. He's the one guy that gets everybody involved. I mean, a triple double the other night. Gets everybody involved from a passing perspective. Kyrie, great score. KD, great score. Not a great facilitator. That matchup will determine the outcome of the series.
See, I'm not ready to dive into Milwaukee because they did what they did against Miami. I understand what Jay is saying. It's impressive. They did it the way that they should have. It wasn't any clunking going on. It's just a smooth sailing. But I'm not ready yet. You're not going to set me up for failure.
But it's funny because we elevate Brooklyn for only playing 13 games together, and this is how they're playing. But they have only played, 13, 14 games together, right? That's not a big body of work to say, hey, we've been in a lot of critical games. You still have to figure things out, Keith.
But here's what I would say. Out of the three dudes that they have, even though they hadn't been together, and two of them won championships, obviously, Kyrie and KD. But we've seen them enough, at least I have, enough in big games individually.
Fair.
Right, individually, where you go, okay, well, I'm not worried about that because I've seen KD, whether it was OKC, whether it was at Golden State, I've seen that. I've seen James Harden in Houston try his best to carry a team on his back. And for all that Kyrie has gotten, I've seen Kyrie with LeBron in Cleveland and hit big shots. And if I put all that together – I'm not worried a bit. In fact, I was going to ask you, can I have your tickets?
Yeah, you can go see a game. Go ahead.
Yeah, I need them. We need to holler. Okay. For sure.
Can I go with you?
I'm taking my son. Why would I take you?
Why wouldn't you take me?
As soon as you asked, I was like,
You're a Knicks fan, though, so you should be trying to go to Knicks.
I know, but
games.
I'm not going to have anything to do after this week, probably. So,
that's a lot of – you really are showing your pride.
Well, confident in your team.
Yeah, Knicks pride.
You're down 3-1 and you can't stop pick and roll. I'm just being a realist. I would love to see a comeback, but, I mean, I don't have much evidence to prove that
I would never feel like that at the Lakers. If the Lakers were down 0-4 –
But I'll tell you what,
Lakers was down 0-4, I'd still wake up the next day and say, we got another game.
Do you feel like you're going to get one in L.A.?
Yeah, I think this next one we got.
I agree with you. I think the Knicks are actually going to get one, but I'm not sure Allen thinks the Knicks are going to get one tonight.
Well, I think maybe they get it tonight mainly because what's one thing you don't do when you're a team
you don't poke a bear, man.
That is up in a series and you kind of know you've been dominating the opponent, but the series isn't over yet and you're going back to their building? What would be the one thing that both of you would say as athletes that the thing you shouldn't do is what?
No, I don't feel that way. Because if I feel like we cooking and this is who we are, then and them dudes, I see the one thing that I always knew as an athlete. No matter what you do, you're not better than me. You're no matter what you scheme, you're not better than me.
So you're so still going to mess with your karma.
I don't worry about that. Karma. I'm gonna dominate karma. Your ass regardless.
Okay.
Like Atlanta.
All right. So you're all about.
They feel they better than y'all.
You're all about
100%.
Jay. You're 100%. All about it. You think what? And we're gonna play.
Man,
in a
I know
second.
Who you are, though.
I want to get one more person's take on it, Jay.
I'm a dog in a different way. I don't need to say nothing.
So you don't. You just aren't about talking.
I don't need to say.
Why did this sound like a puppy? If that was my teammate,
I'm riding with my teammate. Though. Right. He can say whatever he wants. That's how he rocks.
Key just did a small dog. Let's bring in a big dog. Quentin Richardson, Q Rich, former NBA player, Knuckleheads podcast, joining us right now on the Goodyear Hotline. Q, I gotta ask you. So, you know what? Before I ask you, Q, and by the way, good morning. Thanks for joining us.
Good morning, fellas. Good morning.
What up, Q?
I'm gonna play for everybody what Clint Capella, the center for the Atlanta Hawks, had to say about what has been a fairly physical, a lot of trash talking kind of series between the Knicks and the Hawks, and then I'll get your reaction to it afterwards. So let's play Capella talking about the Knicks and their attempt to play physical against them.
They're trying to play tough. I mean, push our guys around and talk shit, but we can do that too. And we show them as soon as they came back here that we can push guys around too. We can talk as well. So what you going to do about it? And we can get a win with it. So what you going to do about it? Oh, game four, you're coming back again. Well, it's going to happen again. We win the game. We talk and we push around. So what are you going to do about it?
Yeah.
So that's what happened. We can do it too. We can be physical, but we can win games as well. And now we're coming to your home to win this game again. Send you on vacation.
Yo. I mean, is this for Capella, is that the right thing to do?
I think it's situational, man. If Clint is ready to go in there and back up his talk and do what he's saying he's going to do, I mean, I don't have a problem with it. I mean, you know, I think every individual handles things differently. I mean, you listen to D. Rose, and he said, I'm 32. I've never talked trash in my whole life, so I'm not going to start now. And I think I'm fine with it, man. I mean, you guys know how I played. If somebody talked to me, I spoke back, and, you know, I felt that I could handle whatever came with it. So as long as Clint can handle whatever comes with it, whether he said, whether they win, lose, or draw, I don't have a problem with it.
Q, how you think the Knicks going to respond? No, down 3-1 at home, do they respond to this, or do they fold their tents, much like Clinton said, and go on vacation? 1-2-3 Cancun.
Nah. I absolutely expect to see. I would be disappointed if I didn't see Clint Capella picking himself up off the floor a couple times tonight. That would be a major disappointment.
Yeah, that's and especially in the building too, with all the emotion that's going to be in there. That's why I ask it, because there's certain points where you say to yourself, like you know, you could talk after the series, but why would you want to wake them up? And maybe
hold
if they
on
were
a second,
having second,
hold on a second, Q, you got a little dog or a big dog, man?
Man, that sounds like a cocker spaniel.
Well, you got a little dog, a big dog, Q. I got to ask you, because I know you're from Chicago now. Don't let me find out you got a little dog, Q.
No,
hey, man, listen. I have a miniature schnauzer, and I'm very proud of it, because it ain't going to be no – I'm the big dog in this house. Dog messing my kids. I got to be able to toss it up over the gate somewhere. If my kids, hey. We don't have that problem, but I got a real friendly family dog. I'm the big dog.
Friendly family.
Oh, I had that.
Hey, Q, that's the same thing I tell people when they start messing with me about my dog. I say, man, I want to be able to handle the dog a certain way. If it has to go that way, I need to be able to handle it a certain way, you know?
Q, let me ask you this, though, because both Key and Allen say it's going to be light work for Brooklyn. Do you think that this series with the Bucks is going to test the Nets, and who do you have winning this series?
Well, I have the Nets winning the series, but I expect them to be tested. I expect a highly competitive series. I mean, I just find it extremely hard to, you know, to see KD, Kyrie, and Harden losing four games to anybody this season. I mean, I know this is going to be competitive, but I expect the Nets to win. I mean, we've seen them guys just put up 104 points, and we know any one of them could, you know, go for 50 any given night, and still have those other two putting buckets up. So, I mean, for me, it's just hard to see them losing. But I totally expect Milwaukee to be game for the series and for it to be a highly competitive series.
How many, Q? How many you got Brooklyn winning in?
No less than six. I'd be surprised if they beat them before six games.
I'll take that, only because you'd love to see a very competitive series. It could be a lot of fun. I got to ask you, we're talking with Quentin Richardson on the Goodyear Hotline right now, a former NBA player. And Q, Damian Lillard's been a guy that I feel like, and I know it's a East Coast bias, I get that, but really for most of the country, because of how late, hey, Portland playing where they play out west, but also very late most of the time. Last night's game was on NBA TV. It wasn't even on a major cable network. Is he like that? It's not a secret to basketball fans, but shouldn't he be a bigger, more well-known player than what he is by the performances, especially last night? And does it reach a point where he would say to himself, I need to maybe move on? If I'm going to try to win a championship or even get, you know, a bigger platform, I kind of need to move on from Portland.
I don't believe that. I mean, I do agree that he plays in the Pacific Northwest, and oftentimes his games are on extremely late. And even like last night, he has a legendary type game that's on NBA TV, while other games are on, you know, the major network, which is Turner or whatever. So I fall short of saying that he doesn't get the respect, because when you look around and you look at TV, Dame has a lot of commercials. And I think Dame has said this, that he gets the respect from his peers. But when you look at the endorsements and the contracts he's gotten from the league, from Portland, I mean, he's one of the most popular guys as far as contracts, as far as endorsements. He's all over the TV with Gatorade and Hulu and different, you know, Adidas all over the place. So, I mean, I will fall short of saying that he's not respected or not seen as the talent he is. I would say that yeah, there probably are some guys who kind of get favorited more than him, and he's just as good or if not better as some of those guys. But I definitely think it's come a long way from where he wasn't getting the respect. I think he's totally getting the respect. He's getting the marketing dollars. He's getting major bucks, and he's known as the cold-blooded killer and one of the best dudes out here by the rest of his peers. I know that for a fact.
But what about winning a championship, a chance to win a title while he's still in his prime?
Well, that's something that could be looked at. And I think listening to him, I think he's a guy that he sounds like he's been intent to stay there in Portland and try and get it done there. And I think that's an honorable thing, not trying to jump ship, not trying to team up, and not trying to do anything. Not saying anything is wrong with that, but people are their own individuals, and he seems like the type of person that he's not the type of guy that wants to go and try and join things. Now, he thinks he would be receptive of anybody coming to Portland, but from the sounds of all of the interviews and sound bites I've heard from him, he sounds like he wants to play his whole career in Portland if he can, and he wants to win there.
Q, what did you make of the Lakers' performance last night without AD?
Disappointing to say the least. I mean, I can't say that I went into that game knowing AD wasn't going to play, like fully expecting them to win. I expected them to be much more competitive than that. I expected them to have at least a chance in the game and to have some type of fight. And what you saw was not, if you're a Lakers fan, not what you wanted to see. You just saw, you know, kind of like a hopeless team a little bit with no heartbeat.
Do we, as I said, have to make any changes in the offseason if we get bounced?
That's something that I think, you know, that they have to look at from the front office standpoint because, I mean, you have to, I think as a Lakers fan, you have to take the caveat and know that this would not be the case if our two big guys were healthy. And I don't think that, you know, people make the thing and say LeBron was killing, you know, the first two games, and now that he's not playing well, that means that he wasn't hurt. I mean, that doesn't mean that. That just means that LeBron is an all-time great talent, and that even in spite of injury, he was able to get in a rhythm and get his thing and get his game going those first couple games. But that I still didn't believe when he came back that he was 100% healthy, and I think he said as much. And us as athletes and players, we know that you can still perform well but not be all the way 100%. So when he plays bad, they want to make it seem like he was already healthy because he had a couple of good games, and I don't agree with that.
Yeah, it's funny, amazing to think that the two finalists from last year be bounced in the first round. That certainly could happen. And Q, we'll let you get back to your big dog.
Arf, arf.
Appreciate you, though.
No
all
doubt,
right, Q.
Man.
All right, thanks very much.
I appreciate y'all, boys.
You got it. Quentin Richardson on the Goodyear Hotline. Keyshawn, J. Will Zubin. We are presented by Progressive Insurance. And coming up. So what quarterback would benefit most from an all-pro wide receiver joining his team? Who wouldn't? That's after Key has this from Grainger.
For all the ones who get it done, Grainger is always there to help. Grainger offers supplies and solutions for every industry, 24/7 support, free access to product specialists, and experienced staff at over 250 local branches. Plus, their commitment to being your safety partner can help you keep your facility safe and your people safer. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just simply stop by.
It's June 2nd, so we're getting ready for some breaking moves in the NFL. Where and when will Julio Jones be traded? Breaking moves brought to you by LinkedIn Jobs. Build your winning team today. Go to LinkedIn.com/sports.
This is Keyshawn, J. Will, and Zubin.
Hi, it's Mike Greenberg letting you know ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sportsbook of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me, plus many more. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today. New users get a bet reset up to $1,000 in bonus bets if your first bet doesn't win. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Have you ridden an electric e-bike yet? You need to check out Lectric e-bikes today, the number one selling e-bike in America. Two things stand out that bikers love about Lectric. Number one, the majority of their models come pre-assembled, so you don't need to be a bike savant to ride them. Number two, Lectric wants to empower riders to spend more time exploring outside on their bikes, so they've made range a priority. Long-range batteries allow riders to hit typically around 65 miles of range or up to 150 miles on some models. Bonus! Lectric has purposefully priced their bikes to be affordably awesome, so you don't have to break the bank to get these sweet rides. See why people who have made the switch to electric bikes have fallen in love with biking again by visiting electricebikes.com. That's L-E-C-T-R-I-C ebikes.com.
Great Michael Kay with the call on the Yes Network as the Yankees snap a four-game losing streak with a walk-off win over the Rays. Clint Frazier, two-run home run, his second career walk-off home run. The other one, 2017. So the Nets, they move on to the second round. They beat the Celtics 123-109, Game 5 last night. They advanced to play the Bucks in the conference semifinals. Remember, they only won one of the three games against Milwaukee during the regular season. And none of those games, the big three played in together, so this will be a new look as that series begins on Saturday night. Grand Slam tennis leaders pledged to address Naomi Osaka's concerns about players' mental health. The four-time major champion and the number two ranked player was fined $15,000 when she didn't speak to reporters after her first round victory at Roland Garros on Saturday. The next day, Osaka pulled out of the tournament entirely. SportsCenter brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless. Time for some Straight Talk. Cutting your wireless bill in half feels good. Home run in the ninth, good. Straight Talk offers 25 gigs of high-speed data for $45 a month, up to 50% less than the other guys on America's best network. Straight Talk Wireless. No contracts. No compromise. Keyshawn J. Wills.
I want to be the best. And this is my mentality. If I come here to work, I'm going to be the best today I can possibly be.
I'll act again. If you want it, you can get it. Hate it, sweat it, I'll be flexing. I'm just riding around my city, bank account and chair model. Sitting pretty, I just had to let them know.
This is what I do.
Julio, touchdown! Oh, my goodness!
Keyshawn J. Wills, Zubin, presented by Progressive Insurance. Alan Hahn in for Zubin. All guests join us on the Goodyear Hotline. And so June 2nd, and Dan Graziano told us yesterday that that means that now things can start to happen when it comes to salary cap manipulation and the ability to move players and clear some cap. And we know the Atlanta Falcons desperately need to do that just to sign their rookies. So Julio Jones could be on the move, or most likely will be on the move. Where he goes, that'll have an impact, certainly felt around the league. Tim Hasselbeck joins us right now, our ESPN NFL analyst, on the Goodyear Hotline. Good morning, Tim. So we all like to play the hypothetical before the deal is made. The best landing spot for Julio Jones, where would you think it would be?
I think it's probably New England, and the reason I say that, I think he would walk into New England and be the best wide receiver on their roster. And so the role that he's used to playing, you know, being a number one, I think would continue, whereas, you know, some of these other places that people have talked about, I'm not exactly sure that it would be the same role. And, you know, if you're going to be paying somebody about $15 million this year to play wide receiver, you would think you would probably treat him like a number one, which I think New England would.
Yeah, that, I agree with you, Tim. I said that, I don't know, last week or so when these things first came up, that the New England Patriots certainly need a Randy Moss X factor, and he would be the guy that would give it to him. How does this hurt Matt Ryan if he is in fact moved? How would this hurt him?
Yeah, I mean, I think it hurts him in the fact that, and can you know, like, I mean, you look at Julio Jones, his size, speed, you know, catch radius, you know, his understanding of the game, his experience. I mean, he's been his go-to. And you just think about, you know, I don't know what the exact numbers are, but, you know, Julio Jones playing with Matt Ryan, you're talking about probably around 150 targets a year, if not more. I mean, that's how Matt Ryan has relied on him. And so, you know, a lot of times people talk about, hey, tight ends are a security blanket. Julio Jones has been the security blanket on top of being the big play guy for Matt Ryan. So I think it's a significant adjustment as he learns a new offense. You know, at the same time, they still have talent at that position. You know, I think they'll be well coached there and it'll look different. But yeah, I do think it is a significant adjustment going forward for Matt Ryan, even though he's played at times without Julio because of injuries.
All right. I got to ask you, what are your expectations for the Cowboys? Tim, like, you know, we start doing this every single year. We start building them up in Dak Prescott.
Yeah, well, listen, it wouldn't be a segment without asking about the Cowboys, Jay Will. So I get it. That was the must-do here. Look, I think they're terrible on defense. And that, to me, you know, we focus so much about offense, so much about quarterbacks, but you know, you don't have to have the best defense in the league, but you've got to be good and you've got to be competitive and you've got to get your offense the ball back. And I just think that that's the side of the football that they're really deficient. I don't think they're very good. And so I think offensively they'll be great. I think Dak will play great. I think they'll be improved on offense, you know, from what we saw a year ago, just in terms of the supporting cast. The division seems like it's wide open. But, look, you can't give up close to 30 points a game and think that you're going to win. I don't care how good your offense is. So that, to me, is a story about Dallas, you know, in terms of what they will end up being this season. I think Dak will be great. I think he will meet expectations. I've always believed in him. I think the question just ends up being, how many games can you actually win with that defense?
Tim, you said this wouldn't be a segment without talking about the Cowboys. Well, it wouldn't be a segment without talking about the Green Bay Packers and Aaron Rodgers, a place that you played. No, I mean, your brother played at. Tell me about the Green Bay Packer fan base, though. It seems like now, all of a sudden, they're talking about Aaron Rodgers packing his bags rather than being a Green Bay Packer.
Yeah, which, Key, is surprising to me. Look, that is a loyal fan base. You know, I think that, you know, you even saw it with, you know, when Aaron was drafted and Brett left. And you think back to that situation, it's very different than the situation with Aaron in that, you know, Brett was talking about retiring every year. It seemed like that went on for about 7 years where he was thinking about, you know, not playing, retiring. And so he wasn't there in the offseason. I think it's very different for Aaron. It seems like the fire is still there. Aaron's not talking about walking away. And so I think that makes this, you know, interesting for the Packers. Look, I think Aaron is frustrated about the situation. I think that has been made clear by Aaron. But I also think that he plays as a Green Bay Packer this year. Look, I understand his frustration. You think about this. In 2018 and 2019, Aaron Rodgers threw 51 touchdowns and 6 interceptions over that 2-year stretch. And then they drafted Jordan Love and didn't tell him about it. Like, he's mad. He's bothered by it. They could have drafted Chase Claypool and helped him in 2020 when he went off and played as well as anybody in the league. So I get the frustration. I think Packers fans probably get the frustration to an extent. But I think he plays as a Packer this season. And if they don't win a Super Bowl, then maybe forces his way out next year.
Tim, let's go back to the NFC East. As you were talking about the Cowboys, and you obviously say that their defense still needs some work. You said a little stronger than I did, but we'll leave it there. With that in mind, then, as I'm looking at the Giants, and their offense seems like at full health stacked, they're trying to get that offensive line, but they felt good about it as the season ended. I know Washington's got a great defense, but looking at those two teams, are the Giants basically Daniel Jones having a good season away from potentially winning that division?
I think so. And a big part of Daniel Jones having a good season would be the supporting cast around him. They weren't very good around him a year ago. Obviously, the Saquon Barkley injury, you know, a significant factor there, but also the receiver play. And you would think that, you know, the offseason additions would help in terms of receiver. The fact that you have Saquon back should obviously, you know, end up being a big factor. You mentioned it about the offensive line, but look, part of the deal on offensive line, when guys get open quicker, quarterback doesn't hold the ball as long. When you have a runner like Saquon, doesn't have to be blocked perfectly. So yeah, I think there's an element there of, hey, how that offensive line goes, the team will go, and they don't have to be absolutely amazing. So yeah, that's exactly how I feel about, you know, Daniel Jones and kind of his impact, you know, on their season. And I would just say this, as crazy as it is, you mentioned Washington. Look, Ryan Fitzpatrick has quietly played better than people have realized when he's had the opportunity. Now, sustaining it over a full season is a different challenge. But, yeah, I would not write Washington off either.
Fitzmagic. It's always you never know with Fitzmagic. Tim, thanks so much. As always, have a great day.
Thanks, Tim.
All right, Tim.
See you guys.
All right, Tim Hauser.
Fitzmagic. The All Goodyear this slander hotline. On Fitzmagic.
Well, you just you
never
know.
Every time I bring up his name, he's like, I'm tired of hearing about Ryan Fitzpatrick.
But you heard Tim say it. It's true.
Cool. He's
it's can it get it, can you get it for a full season?
Yeah, it's cool. Okay. It's a serviceable guy that may work what Ron Rivera wants to do, which is a run the ball,
yep,
dink and dunk,
keep it
and play solid defense. That may work.
I hear you.
Mm-hmm. That style that may
defense,
work with that guy,
yeah,
opposed to watching him throw the ball all over the lot. No, I don't want him throwing five interceptions. No, I don't, Jay.
Right. That's
sorry.
I didn't say I want to see that either.
Right. Nobody wants that. You know what else? Sometimes there's a rule, by the way, especially when you're like in baseball or any other sport, when you're a former manager, former coach, former player, they give you a microphone. Sometimes there's things that you think that you probably shouldn't say. In fact, you shouldn't be thinking it either. Wait till you hear the latest out of a former manager in Major League Baseball on a game broadcast. We'll discuss that next. KJZ, ESPN Radio, and the ESPN app.
Hey, it's Greeny, and LeBron and the Lakers are in trouble, down 3-2 in their series against the Suns. Is it over for L.A.? We'll talk about that and more with the Hall of Famer Isaiah Thomas. It's Greeny, starting 10 a.m. Eastern on ESPN Radio and ESPN+. Plus.
For the ones who get it done, Grainger offers high-quality supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as access to product specialists who have the knowledge and experience to answer your toughest questions. Plus, their commitment to being your safety partner can help you keep your facility safe and your people safer. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done. Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only, exclusions apply.
KJZ ESPN Radio. So 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776 is the number. Cal Ripken Jr. going to join us in the 9 o'clock hour. Great conversation with him. His baseball, honoring Lou Gehrig Day, and also raising money for ALS, and a lot of great stuff happening there on the baseball front. But before we get to the good stuff of baseball, here's something that, like I said earlier.
The fact that we had to visit subject matter like this,
well, sometimes,
disturbs me.
Yeah, well, sometimes when you know when you have a microphone, it doesn't quite mean you should say everything on your mind, but it does reveal things that are on your mind. And let's listen to this. So this is on Bally Sports Arizona as the Mets and Diamondbacks played last night. The Mets with a 6-5 win. And Marcus Stroman got the win. He goes 6 innings, 3 runs, 6 strikeouts, 7 hits. Actually had a shutout going into the sixth when he gave up the runs. And then came out, and then it got too interesting. It was a 4-0 lead for the Mets at that point. It ended up being, again, 6-5. So Stroman pitching, and here's Bob Brantley, the former Diamondbacks manager, who's now doing color commentary, analyst for Bally Sports. And let's just how he describes Stroman's look.
Split changeup that Stroman has developed, and it's turned into a tremendous pitch for him.
Sure, that's the same do-rag that Tom Seaver used to wear when he pitched for the Mets.
Yeah, got the 41 patch on his sleeve right there. And Reddick is at it again. Dunks that one into center. Well, the Diamondbacks have had a two-out base hit in all 4 innings so far.
Why? Awkward. Just, why? Yeah, like, what do you say?
Why would you, like, even say that?
Like, the play-by-play.
It bothers you that, like, much, yeah, that you have to say that?
Patch commemorating...
Yeah, there's the 2-1 pitch.
Yeah, yeah, the 1-2 low. Yeah, what was? What do you? Why do you care about the do-rag? Like, what does that have to do with anything?
It really bothers you that much, huh? You just have to slide it in there.
It's a league. Now, Brantley's a guy that also had said something about Tatis Jr. wearing what he called a bike chain around his neck, that he would probably be faster if he didn't wear that because he had a, you know, pretty big chain.
Because the chain was holding him down from being fast enough?
Well, I think he's trying to be funny. It's just awkwardly funny. It's not funny.
This is a major problem for baseball, though. Like, these type of thoughts that exist within baseball, a sport that's trying to revitalize itself and change up its image, when you hear things like this from different communities of people that are actually star players – like, that makes me not want to watch baseball, man.
So Marcus Stroman saw on social media, because that, you know, everybody that heard it saw it, they posted on social media as it always does, and he retweeted a few, and one of his responses was, "Onward and upward through all adversity and racist undertones. The climb continues through all."
Absolutely. Undertones are amazing.
Yeah. Right?
We joke about the undertones in sports in general. But let's be honest with each other, man. It's enough. Like, and we hate to always, me and Jay, being the black dudes on the show, we hate to always have to address these issues that continue to come up along the way. And the first thing that happens is somebody on these whack-ass social media sites take issue with what we say.
Oh, here goes another race issue.
Guess what? Have your people stop doing it. And I almost cursed right there. Just, won't you just stop? Everybody understands what it is. And it just, you know, oh, well, maybe he should have used something different. You think? a bike chain? Oh, okay. As if white baseball players don't wear gold chains around their neck. Maybe not as big and as thick with diamonds or something along those lines. But they do wear chains.
Yeah.
They do wear chains around their necks when playing baseball. It drives me
nuts. But that's an old man take on new style, new things coming into the league. Let me just correct myself, by the way, as I glanced at the box score quickly. The Diamondbacks actually came back to win that game. It was 4-0 Mets, and Stroman gave up 3 in the sixth. And then the bullpen went on to blow it, where Arizona won 6-5 in 10 innings. Just wanted to clarify that.
Yeah, I gotta be honest. Like, I don't even care about what the score.
Yeah,
is.
But you know, of course, I hear you. Just want to be right.
But you know, Key, I said this yesterday, and you weren't here. Like, undertones is the word, right? Because I said, hey, look, even like in the basketball atmosphere.
Yes.
So I see Kyrie Irving get hit in the head with a bottle. I see Russ get popcorn on him. I hear John Morant's parents get used racial slurs.
Yes.
What else am I missing, Alan? I'm missing another one. I know I'm
something,
missing another
right?
One. Trae Young was spit upon, on, right?
Oh, you have that. And all so these, gross. In all the videos, mm-hmm. I saw Caucasian young kids doing that. And I'm like, so the undertone for me, and it may not be the reality because I don't feel like there was racial intent there, right?
No.
I feel like they were just idiotic people.
I think it's just kids who they treat each other like that. I want to clarify that because I do think a lot of these things are just – Let me talk about it for a second.
I wasn't here yet, but I can finish your thoughts for you.
It's how I feel.
Yes.
It's how I feel. Like, I preface it by saying I don't think there was racial intent there.
Okay,
but it's how I feel with everything that's happening right now.
And I can finish that for you, and I wasn't even here and didn't see the show or listen to the show yesterday.
Thank you.
No, not because of that, but I can promise you I could finish his thoughts. All those kids were probably white.
They were.
And we probably don't ever see black people do that to other black or even white players. Is that kind of what?
I'd even take it down that level. Okay. My thing was that those were predominantly Caucasian kids that I saw do that.
Well, so, I'm going to take it there. I never see us do that. And when I say us, I mean black people. I just don't. I just haven't seen it. And it's almost like listening to these announcers, not just analysts, but play-by-play guys that be saying stuff all the time. We don't have a whole lot of play-by-play guys that are African-American in professional sports. But the ones that we do have, I never hear them say that about white players. Or I never hear black analysts say something like that about a white athlete. I never hear it.
And this is one of those cases where he's making a snide remark that
it
just has
wrong.
No place.
And it went wrong.
No place in the broadcast. There's just no reason to make that reference of, just like Tom Seaver wore, which is just Tom Seaver played 50 years ago.
And he would never wear one because it's not his personality and he wasn't raised that way.
All that stuff. There's no relation to it other than the game has changed and you don't like the way it looks now. Well, that's literally what Brenly's saying. The game is different than it used to be and I don't like it.
You're not professional if you don't look like that.
Yeah, see, you're hearing it that way. You're hearing it that way. We all have different perspectives.
No, I hear it.
No, I hear it that way.
You're hearing it that way. And I'm not saying you're wrong. I'm saying you're hearing it that way. And what I hear is an old man saying, the game is changing, and I don't like it. I don't like the way it looks today. And that sounds like an old man just complaining.
No, that's the same thing Jay is saying. He's just using different words to describe that. It's the same thing. An old man that's seen it a certain way, whether it's baseball or any other sport, all of a sudden – you referenced Tom Seaver. Why you didn't say Ozzie Smith? Why you had to say Tom Seaver?
Yeah.
Why you didn't say Ozzie Smith?
Well, again, there's any player, Mookie Wilson. He could have used a player, Daryl Strawberry. Tom Seaver because the Tom Seaver patch was on the jersey, which is what they made the reference to. But, man, I
don't even want to talk about stuff like this, man.
No, I get it.
Key and I talk about this all the time. We don't want to talk about stuff like this.
Yeah, but you say stupid things like that.
And you're like, well, damn.
And it has to be talked about. That's on you, Bob Brenly, and that was dumb.
Sure, he'll be issuing an apology at some point.
But we do have a nickname for AD, a new one. We'll discuss that next. KJZ, ESPN Radio.
What a great transition.
And the ESPN app.